Welcome, everybody. I'm Jack, your host of the Social Impact Journal. We've had a few weeks away, but now we're back for episode 16, where I'll be talking to Santiago, who is building and creating ecosystems for social entrepreneurs and changemakers to thrive all across Latin America and the Caribbean with Ashoka. He'll be sharing his experiences and his lessons about how to become a better social entrepreneur and a changemaker. So this is not one to miss. If you're new to the podcast and you enjoy the episode, please do share it with your colleagues or your friends and find our social media channels on LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. Here's the trailer.
So I'm a psychologist and a social communications expert. And the thing that really connected me was my experience as a gamer. No, it was one of those identities that I didn't identify with a lot of people in my community, just a few friends that are still my best friends up to date. And being a gamer and the values and characteristics of it taught me so much about how to be a change maker, how to be empathetic, how to work in teams. When someone asked me what trait is so essential to social entrepreneurs, is really empathy based on active listening that usually is sparked in earlier development. I think that having this developed in later years is much more harder.
What do you think is needed to create an efficient structure and ecosystem for change makers to thrive?
I really do think that we need a huge change making network effect. What we need is an entire community that is there to promote a change maker.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 16 of the Social Impact Journal. Today, I'm with Santiago, who is in Mexico City right now. So I met Santiago a few weeks back in India in a Royal Academy of Engineering conference in Bangalore. And thanks so much, Santiago, for joining the podcast. How is Mexico today?
It's a pleasure to be here, Jack. And well, Mexico City at this time of year is pure rainy season. So here we're trying to manage as we can.
Great stuff. So Santiago, maybe an introduction. Who are you and why are you so passionate about supporting social entrepreneurs in Latin America, the Caribbean, and the world in the whole?
Okay, well, I'm actually here based in Mexico City. I'm actually born and identified as a Colombian. Grew up a few years in the States, but then went back to Colombia to work and to also be close to my community and also have all my education. While growing up, one of the things that really sparked me as an interest is how powerful identities are for people. How identities are cultivated by culture, values, and interconnections between people. And so I'm a psychologist and a social communications expert. And the thing that really connected me was my experience as a gamer. No, it was one of those identities that I didn't identify with a lot of people in my community, just a few friends that are still my best friends up to date. And being a gamer and the values and characteristics of it taught me so much about how to be a change maker, how to be empathetic, how to work in teams, and how to have creativity to solve problems, which is the baseline for change making. And I didn't realize this until I started understanding my identity as a migrant and also as a Colombian and then as an LGBT person, no? And how these identities create action. So when I was still in university, I started doing volunteer work for Rotary. That's another part of my greatest identities of how I went into work in social entrepreneurship. I actually started in a small NGO project called Nuevas Huellas, New Footprints, in which we started seeing that in Medellin, the city I'm from, that are full of mountains, a lot of people never went to the center of the city. They lived and they were born, grew up, and died in the same blocks of their neighborhood. And the sad thing about certain generations is that most of them were lost because because there was not a lot of education opportunities or work opportunities, a lot of the youth just left their communities, and the community suffered so much. So what we did with my friends, practically with my best friends, is that how can we help them re-identify with their communities and their roots? So we started doing an entire program about how do we give them leadership skills, but we knew that that wasn't going to be enough, but how do we recreate their experience with their community and their territory, so they understand that they're not only people that are going to be having other opportunities just leaving their neighborhood, but they have a co-responsibility to protect their identities and culture and customs. So we started working with local NGOs to start creating experiences for youth. And it started rolling out 100 youth a year, and I'm not there anymore. I'm here in Mexico City, and other people are taking those projects. But that's where I started seeing the power that identities can have in creating social impact. So when we talk about social entrepreneurs, my interest working here in Ashoka, which Ashoka is a global NGO that works to promote social entrepreneurship and an everyone a change maker movement inspired by what social entrepreneurs are, I'm interested in what makes them tick. I'm interested in how they do, how does a social entrepreneur get to the place they are now? How do they create these decisions in their lives to say, I want to dedicate my life to creating long-lasting solutions, working with others and creating systemic change? And how do we promote that identity in others, especially with other change makers that are not necessarily social entrepreneurs, but from any role in society that they work from, they can really create change, you know, even from enterprise or even just someone that works from home, you know, and someone that cares for their families can also have these abilities and this identity. So that's who I am, and that's what I work on.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Santiago. And from your work speaking, communicating to the change makers and the social entrepreneurs, what are some of the most common traits that you have taken away and you see, you know, this is a real common trait of a successful social entrepreneur?
I believe that for anyone, even as a change maker or that resonates more with social entrepreneurship, I think that the biggest trait anyone can have is empathy. But empathy not understood as putting yourself in other people's shoes. Once we start going into that narrative, one doesn't need to know people. We can say and have references that I watched the movie, now I understand what poverty is. No, that's putting oneself in other people's shoes and then having some type of compassion that says, I feel sorry for you. No. And that has hurt a lot of the ecosystems when we talk about social impact, because it creates this charity narrative. But when we go towards empathy, understood by Ashoka and the Changemaker framework, it's understanding other people's lives through active listening. It's really getting to know people through communities, through experts, really saying, I've never had your experience. I have my experience that I can have a shared conversation and try to understand paradigms from my mental models. And you're the expert. Please let me know how I can help you in the best way ever and start reconciliating with what I know and have that understanding that I'm never going to replicate someone else's experience. But working with them, I can at least get as close as possible and work with them in a teams type of way, no? So I would say that any social entrepreneurship that has the baseline of empathy and shared experience as the forefront is going to be clear. As this trait of putting at the center empathy, one of the things that comes to mind when we talk about how social entrepreneurship programs are developed in universities is that it's sometimes isolated from community realities, no? A lot of university, especially private schools, trying to protect students from certain situations that can be prevented. Well, they don't have as much clear connection with community. So what happens is that the active listening that is needed for empathy to create better solutions for social problems are just not there. And their only knowledge and connection is through Wikipedia or through like learning outlets on internet where that doesn't really create a connection with what people think and actually are needing. So this is one of the things that really we have to think about how we are developing this trait at early year education on how do we get people to connect between each other. So when someone asks me what trait is so essential to social entrepreneurs is really empathy based on active listening that usually is sparked in early year development. I think that having this developed in later years is much more harder. So that's something to really think about.
Mm-hmm. Amazing, amazing, and so true. So you mentioned about some of the structure to support change makers, some of the social entrepreneurship programs, but what do you think is needed to create an efficient structure and ecosystem for change makers to thrive?
I really do think that we need a huge change making network effect. What we need is an entire community that is there to promote a change maker. When I think that is that the infrastructure needs local laws that promote change making as a right that every child and young person is guaranteed. And we have a really nice example of this in Peru, where in Quito, in the constitution, it says that every child and young person has a right to be a change maker. But to be a change maker, they have to have food, they have to have shelter, they have to be protected, they have to have mental health, etc. So everyone can really be thinking about how do I help others? No, but if I cannot think about others, if my basic needs are not being met, and that is super critical. So one thing is about an institutional development in laws and government projects and initiatives, but it's also how are we rethinking philanthropy and enterprises? Because most of us start working and we are part of this system of labor that inside our enterprises, we believe that what we do is just is so straightforward and there's no way to create social change working in a supermarket, working in a big tech company, working like it looks like there's two identities that are like super isolated one from the other. When we think about how are we transforming social responsibility from the inside of enterprise, it's also thinking how the collaborators can also be change makers as Ashoka knows it, as entrepreneurs, and how they can really be thinking about how can I help others and create social change within my organization from the role I work in, no? And then on the other side is how are we rethinking the education system, no? How are we working on developing these soft skills, as I say, empathy, creativity to solve problems, working in a team structure and creating new leadership? When are we working on this? No. So we are so oriented on having high standards of mathematics, literature, social studies, etc. But when are we thinking about how these people, how these children and young people are going to be contributing to long lasting effects positively in their community? That's something that always comes as an afternote in an ethic class or in Mexico, for example, in religion or in other types of classes. So there has to be this entire social infrastructure in where the change maker always has the opportunity to give themselves the permission to be change makers and not being excluded or being marginalized or saying you cannot do this. So creating this infrastructure is hard, but working with early adopters from different institutions, as is the work that I do, creates these change-making networks that creates an effect that changes the entire paradigm of society towards this common vision of everyone has the power to be a change-maker, not only a few, no?
For sure. And Santiago, you mentioned an example in Peru where it's written into the legislation. So in the last few years in your work, have you seen any recent trends about how this ecosystem is supporting change makers and maybe some specific case studies of a country or a business that is really pushing this agenda?
There are a lot of organizations that are working, I think, in this. I think that Latin America has this vocation in society of being revolutionary, of being critical to local for global standards of how are we working social inclusion, diversity, equity, And we can see that in the last couple of years of so many protests about in Chile, in Colombia, and even here in Mexico, and how this has created a change in governments, for good or for bad. And one of the things that has made that possible is that Latin America is deeply rooted in community ties. For us, family values and family structures of community is what makes us resilient. It's what makes us tick. And I think it shows when we start creating back in the 2000s and 2010s of creating networks of apoyo mutuo, a mutual help, support system. So what have we been seeing is that organizations understand that isolated work is not working. It's actually creating more unintentional secondary effects that are negative to society. So we have the example, for example, in the tech sector, where a lot of organizations were giving out laptops and computers for so long, and then we started seeing that community members were using it for other means that were not for social development. And a lot of these computers were just broken down after 1 year of use, no? So what would have happened if local NGOs supported these organizations in helping them create a paradigm shift and helping to support community members to understand the value of these, of having technology in their hands, no? To activate their development and also their change-making potential that didn't happen before, no? So the trends that I'm seeing is that there's so much intention of creating networks and communities that support each other. I'm thinking about, for example, Nuevo León here in Monterrey, that have striven so much to creating an entire community of the most biggest enterprises that are out there working, like, for example, Cemex, the largest concrete producer in the world, connecting with more than 40 NGOs, working with local university, and creating an entire systems of support to the most critical problems that Nuevo León has right now, which is a lot of planet and climate related issues. Another organization I would just like give a big shout out to, it's, for example, Bridge for Billions, another Spanish NGO that has worked, for example, in Central America, that are doing incredible things to really bridge how people with big ideas for entrepreneurship can get connected to all the tools and knowledge they need to develop their ideas, but also they help to create a systems of support between entrepreneurs and connecting them with local organizations that can support financially their work, no? So that's what we're looking at. A lot of supporting organizations that are developing the social ecosystem and being the articulators for this development, no?
For sure. So the last one was Bridge for Billions.
Yes.
Okay, great. So I'll make sure for anyone watching, just checking the show notes, as we'll include links to all of these different organizations if you want to find out more and how you can get involved with them. Santiago, the change makers, social entrepreneurs, I know they're always full of new ideas, but do you think there's a danger for a change maker of trying to run with too many ideas at once and trying to do too much at the same time, rather than focusing on one particular intervention or idea?
One of the things that I believe is that a change maker, because of their capacity to really listen and to always have this sensing board of, hey, is my idea and my proposal to resolve hunger, to resolve insecurity, etc., is it working? Are we married with the problem, or are we married with the solution? Which is something so important to understand. When we are social entrepreneurs and we have empathy at the center of everything, I understand, because I've lived through this, that sometimes we understand our solutions as our baby, no project. Of it's too big to fail. No, we've committed time, we've committed resources, And then it's so easy to run into we have to make it work. We have to make it work. Let's just change a little bit, no? But because we're change makers, we understand that there's the important thing is to resolve the problem. And maybe it's not through this path that we created at the initiating our projects. When I started seeing what I was doing in Nuevas Huellas, and then I came to Mexico and seeing what Ashoka was doing, I said, it's incredible the work that I'm doing in a really direct service to my communities. But if I stay doing this for the rest of my life, I'm just going 100 people every year. My impact has a ceiling. But what would happen if I start seeing systemically? What can I do to create community members to create projects on their own and give them the capacity to help create identities, community identities and tie within youth where I'm not needed and I can really be growing the network, no? So that's just changing the entire game of what I was doing. And now I don't have to get to 100 people a year, but actually going to 1,000 and then 2,000, then 4 or 5, no? So I think that because we believe so much from Ashoka and from my personal standpoint on systemic change, it's the most organic thing in the world to start innovating in such a way that every year, maybe something has changed radically in your entrepreneurship work. No, maybe today you're working on a platform to cultivate capacity and education, but tomorrow you're working legislation. And because you understand that to create system change, it's not about creating just one solution. It's because it's creating a network of solution and a really holistic approach to resolving the problem. Most people understand that when we talk about planet and climate, we're talking about agriculture, we're talking about consumer habits, we're talking about so many other things. Maybe your entrepreneurship and your purpose really amplifies and starts growing. And I have so many examples of social entrepreneurs that when they were selected from Ashoka, they were working on one thing, for example, gender. Today, they're working on human trafficking. No, and it was because of their journey through the problem that really left them there. Does that mean that they abandoned their original idea? No, they grew upon it, no, and really started deep diving more, no? Mm-hmm.
No, I completely agree. I feel that at Rural Inclusion, we're on that journey right now where we started off with, we defined what the problem was and we started building, our first solution. And, it's built traction, but then you start to see, well, hold on, we've built a network now. Could we do this? Could we do this? Could we do this? You know, and it takes off from there. But that's all comes from, you need to listen to the people that you're building the solution for. And, are we solving all the problem here, or is there something else that we need to do alongside this that can actually help support them? So it's really interesting to hear your thought process on that and some examples of the social entrepreneurs that have gone through Ashoka and the transition they've made over time. For first-time social entrepreneurs that are just starting out, what are the couple of skills do you think are most lacking, and where could they find support and help to bridge those knowledge gaps?
I think that one of the things that maybe is not a skill, but it's something that has to be explored really early on is, where's the passion? No, there's a lot of us that start out. I think that's what happened to me also, where it took me a while to understand where my passion is in social impact. I knew I wanted to help people, and I started working with social entrepreneurs and giving them the skills. But I understood then that I liked it, but it wasn't my purpose in life. No, that wasn't where I was being needed. And so I started to explore. I explored so many topics, which I'm definitely not expert in all of them, but I went through working with new longevities, understanding planet and climate, talking about migration, democracy, and I never felt that this is what I'm going to be doing the rest of my life, no? But when I started connecting with technology for the good of all, I started saying, okay, this is where this could be. So I think that social entrepreneurs sometimes get really excited really early on around the topic, but I would really create a skill of really learning about different topics and different mindsets and issues, because one, that really helps you create a much broader solution, because we understand from a systemic point of view that all the social problems are interconnected. So it's really easy to understand how one affects the other. So amplifying your knowledge across the board and not just deep diving on your topic is going to be better. But also there may be a purpose that you have not identified yet that will be the motor of those really lacking days when you say, I don't have any funding for my organization anymore. And that happens a lot. No, what is that? What is going to be that idea that's at the center of what you do, that you're saying, I'm not going to throw the towel? No. Because that happens so much in NGOs across the board. We start giving up because of funding, because of government restraints, barriers, people that just say you should be doing something that's more serious, etc. So that would be one of the things. Another of the greatest skills that has to be is that at the end of the day, because of really limited funding, we're what we call in Mexico a todero, an everything type of person. I learned administration, I do human resources, I understand what labor laws are, because we don't have the funding to get someone from legal team. We don't have the money for someone in human resources. So really able to have that that flexibility of the mind to really be open to learning different skills that are beyond our just social oriented skills. That's just the fun of it, no? And really learning also, this is another skill, how do we decentralize our knowledge as leaders? One of the things that happens is that we become this superhero complex. This is my idea. This is how I implemented this. And the problem is that the day that we want to leave because we want to explore other things and want to develop other ideas, let's just say, for example, going to a master's or a doctor's becomes a big barrier in our organization, because with so much knowledge is centralized. So many relationships with other leaders are centralized and key figures that we never give the chance to have new leaderships within our team. So developing a strategy and a structure so you can decentralize your knowledge around the problem, but also decentralizing processes so other people can have leadership roles, it's going to be really clear moving forward, no? So, and that's one of the changemaker skills that are most developed, no? New leadership and how can we work in team of teams type of way? How do we show that we're all at the same level of importance in our organization and we have the knowledge to really create change as much as the leader of the entire project? So those are the skills I would just resonate right now with.
For sure. Well, Santiago, this has been a great half an hour to 25 minutes or so for our listeners that are in the social entrepreneurship space, maybe starting out, or they have their own organizations, to learn from yourself about some of the pitfalls and really how to intensify their advocacy work. I'm sure we can talk for hours and hours, and maybe we'll get you back onto the podcast one time to go into depth in one of these topics. But how can any social entrepreneur or someone listening, if they want to reach out to you, where can they find you? Which social media channels are you most active on?
Well, understanding a little bit the audience, I'm most active in LinkedIn. Please, if anyone has any questions or want to connect even with Ashoka, especially in Africa and Europe, we have really strong teams working with incredible social entrepreneurs that you can just reach out if you want to learn more about social entrepreneurs in specific topics in your countries. Please reach out to me. Jack is going to be showing all the handles here in the podcast. And it's a really open dialogue. I really love having stories of the change making that people do in their countries. Please let me know if you have any powerful story of even a young change maker story or even a social entrepreneurship work. We have nominations for our Ashoka Fellow nominations every year. Open to many topics, really focusing on supporting local NGOs, more of the nonprofit sector that we need so much support to give them. So please search us in internet, You're going to be having my LinkedIn, and please reach out. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks so much, Santiago.
Of course. Anytime.